pour ce troisième épisode de Women's Land. Oui, oui, déjà, j'ai eu la chance de recevoir le grand Lunis. Lunis is a complete artist. Oui, oui, je parle anglais car ceci est un épisode bilingue. On est rendu là, la gang, on est rendu à ce niveau-là. Lunis est un ami de longue date. Je te dirais, ça fait 10 ans qu'on se connaît, mais on se voit moins souvent depuis qu'il fait le tour du monde. Lunis, je l'ai connu en 2006, quand on était au cégep. Il commençait déjà à faire des beats qui étaient déjà assez prometteurs, m'a vous dire ça. Puis ça a été le DJ de mon party de fin de session en 2007 au Vinyl Lounge sur Bleury. Puis après ça, les soirées où Lunis a commencé à jouer se sont enchaînées. Il est allé à Oshiaga, puis c'est à partir de Oshiaga que sa carrière a fait BOOM! C'est qui l'a recruté? Diplo. Diplo, il était présent quand Lunis performait à Oshiaga à la scène pique-nique électronique en 2010, je pense bien. C'est un épisode vraiment intéressant. J'ai pensé à l'épisode pendant quelques jours après. Lunis est vraiment quelqu'un d'exceptionnel. Sa façon de penser est vraiment pas comme tout le monde. C'était vraiment intéressant de savoir comment lui fonctionne dans tout ce qui se passe dans sa vie, dans le fame, dans l'évolution d'Internet, etc. On parle pas mal de choses. On parle d'adolescence. On parle de se faire puncher d'en face. On parle de ses débuts. On parle de Tonight, de la lourdeté des médias. Bref. Je vous souhaite une bonne écoute.
De quoi d'un peu funky, tu sais, genre, avec des voix graves et hautes. Funk. Puis le titre du podcast, c'est Women's Land.
Aujourd'hui, on est avec Lunis. Ou Lunis? Est-ce que tu veux du sucre?
Sugar.
T'en veux ou non?
I'm alright.
Ok, thanks. Parfait. Je vais prendre aussi du thé. Comment on t'a appelé dans la vie?
Lunis, c'est en français. Lunis, c'est anglophone. C'est ça que je réalisais.
De quoi?
Lunis, c'est francophone. Lunis, c'est anglophone.
Mais. Moi, je dis Lunis, mettons, mais ça a toujours été Lou. Genre yeah.
C'est ça que je réalisais quand. Ouais, c'est vrai, parce que même si je suis en France, ils m'appellent Lunis. Puis c'est ça, je comprends, ça fait plus de sens, Lou et Lou.
Oui, c'est vrai.
Lou, c'est vraiment comme English.
C'est vrai que c'est Lunis.
Yeah.
Mais tu sais, je veux un peu avoir plus deep. Tu sais, mettons, il y a des choses qui sont plus difficiles.
Moi, je suis tellement habitué à tout ça, je peux aller deep.
Mais moi aussi! Moi, je suis comme.
Tu peux me demander, what about that rock?
Je vais faire. À vous!
Une heure et demie sur cette roche. Mais c'est vraiment encore, quand j'étais. Il y a des années, j'ai fait du psilocybin.
C'est quoi?
C'est du shrooms.
OK.
C'est le nom, le proper name.
Puis c'était comme. Puis c'est la première fois que t'en faisais?
Il y a des années. je suis rendu vraiment québécois. Il y a des. Je crois comme 6-7 ans, je pense. Il y a des années.
Straight up. T'as un accent québécois. Des années, tabarnak. Ouais. Je suis comme Lunis.
Oh, shroom story coming.
Ouais.
Jesus. Je tournais québécois, puis. Ils m'ont appelé Luc, puis.
Oh. Luc de la Rochelière.
Oh, jeez. Hell yeah, man, all the way. Non, mais il y a. Attends. Peut-être il y a 7 ans. Il y a vraiment longtemps quand même. On a fait, moi puis mes amis, on est allé. Où ça? C'est où il y a pique-nique électronique, l'île. Comment ça s'appelle?
L'île Sainte-Hélène.
Sainte-Hélène, c'est ça.
Ouais.
Puis on est allé là parce qu'il y a un petit nice space avec un peu de nature, puis tout. On en a mangé, puis je me rappelle toujours la première fois que ça allait kick-in. Et je me rappelle, je descendais les escaliers, puis je regardais, j'avais des white vans, right? Puis je regardais mes white vans, puis à chaque fois... C'est-tu quand tu regardes le soleil pour un petit bout, puis quand tu regardes dans quelque part d'autre, puis tu vois un black spot?
Ouais.
Fait que là, mes shoes, vans, à chaque fois, j'enlevais mes pieds de ma vue, il y avait un spot noir, comme si je regardais le soleil.
Non!
Puis là, j'étais comme, yo, guys, I got disco feet. Obviously, ils voyaient même pas ça. Tout le monde, ils ont quelque chose de différent.
Oui, c'est ça.
Mais Qu'est-ce qui avec crazy, qu'est-ce qui était fou avec ça, c'était que ça m'a vraiment forcé à regarder puis regarder les détails aux alentours de moi, vraiment vraiment deep, au point que je regardais le gazon puis je faisais comme une sorte de how is it made breakdown de comment que le gazon il a fini par être là puis grandir puis comment toutes les différents layers sur le turf puis ça vraiment c'était rendu BBC Earth pour, de mon perspective.
Oh. Ouais, est-ce que t'avais malade. La voix de tu pas Neil deGrasse?
Ouais. David Attenborough oui, for sure ça. Comme dans ma tête, you know.
DeGrasse went just
c'était oh. Malade. Toute cette expérience, right? Puis
ouais, c'est ça.
Rendu dans la ville, je me rappelle que j'entendais tout le monde parler, je pouvais tune in and out de toutes les différentes discussions du monde. Comme c'était vraiment mon focus, c'était vraiment intense. Je trouvais ça vraiment bizarre, mais en même temps, je me forçais à me rappeler de toute cette expérience pour plus tard, pour me rappeler plus tard pour faire quelque chose de productif sur ça.
Ouais.
Puis qu'est-ce que j'ai appris de cette expérience, c'est d'être vraiment, on dirait, hyper présent. You know?
Mm-hmm.
C'est vraiment fou.
Tu sais que tu peux. Ton cerveau est capable d'aller là. Genre.
Yeah, il est capable d'aller là, même naturellement. Fait que c'est ça que depuis de ce jour-là, j'ai pratiqué à être plus mindful dans cette façon-là. Mindful dans le style d'être plus présent, puis appreciative de n'importe quoi, vraiment n'importe quoi.
Quand tu dis appreciative, qu'est-ce que tu veux dire?
Appreciative, comme j'apprécie d'apprécier n'importe quoi que tu encounters.
Ouais, mais t'étais pas déjà comme ça?
Ouais, c'est déjà comme ça, mais encore plus.
Il me semble que oui. Parce que
il y a toujours. Oh,
je suis pas comme I knew you since you were born. Mais je suis comme.
Non,
il y a 10 ans, t'étais comme ça, genre.
Non,
positif.
C'est vrai. J'étais déjà positif, mais j'étais positif pour être positif en général.
Mm-hmm.
Mais ça m'a donné une raison pourquoi je suis positif. Dans ce sens.
Puis c'est quoi la raison pourquoi?
Parce que ça m'a montré. Ça m'a. Comment je peux dire? Ça m'a montré comment my humbleness.
Ouais, ok.
Comme, ça m'a montré le face value de mon humbleness. You know? Parce que c'est dur de savoir si je suis humble ou whatever, parce que sans être dans une sorte de condition.
Oh my God.
Mental, you know what I mean? On dirait, c'est un peu dur. Mais ça fait du sens si je dis comme condition mentale, mais comme en tant que méditation, ça c'est une façon naturelle pour faire ça.
Mm-hmm.
Et c'est vraiment dur faire de la méditation parce que c'est quelque chose qu'il faut que ça prend beaucoup de concentration, mais je peux pas vraiment expliquer en détail. C'est quelque chose que je pratique aussi.
Ouais, tu fais de la méditation pleine conscience ou...
Yeah, c'est non, pleine conscience. Mindfulness, yeah.
Mindfulness,
exact.
Ouais.
Yeah, yeah. Ça, c'est vraiment tough parce que ça prend beaucoup de pratique. Je trouve que c'est vraiment similaire aux expériences que j'ai eues, même sur du weed et tout. Mais je trouve qu'avec la méditation, c'est plus effective.
Effective, ouais.
Yeah, parce que c'est soi-même. Il n'y a pas de lay-up.
Je comprends. Il n'y a pas comme...
Dans ce state of mind.
Ouais.
Yeah.
Il n'y a pas quelque chose qui se passe comme un buzz ou whatever qui t'amène dans ce mind.
Yeah,
t'es genre naturellement.
Yeah.
Mais est-ce que tu pourrais comparer? Genre, est-ce que tu pourrais dire que c'est similaire? Genre vraiment, comme le trip que tu as eu, mettons, sur les mushrooms pis, ou le weed, puis la méditation. Comme c'est quelque chose pour toi qui t'amène au même endroit psychologiquement? Genre,
le
t'es comme
seul,
aussi bien.
Je pense que la seule chose que je peux... relié directement en tant que de feeling, c'est le feeling of just letting go.
Ouais.
To experience what it's giving you, or whatever it is. Parce que c'est vraiment une affaire naturelle pour nous d'être je veux close in un peu, je veux pas vraiment discuter rien. Tu vois ça dans des relations du
100%.
Monde. Personne ne veut parler, tout le monde veut gagner.
Ouais.
C'est ça que je veux dire par let go. Je parle pas de let go comme let go of life, you know what I mean? Ça, c'est la chose que le monde pense toujours direct. Comme, yo, dog, nah, man, think a little bit more positive. I mean, like, let go of your stresses.
Ouais.
That kind of stuff.
Mais parce que je me dis, là, ça a dû aider comme dans les dernières années, parce que t'as fait genre le tour du monde dans ta vingtaine.
Yeah, ça, c'est... Ah, ouais, c'est ça, parce que... Ça a... Definitely, ça a aidé parce que... quand j'ai commencé à faire des tournées, ça l'a pratiquement. On dirait que ça a le hyperspeed, the amount of information que je peux accumuler. Je trouve. À cause. C'est ça pourquoi j'ai jamais vraiment trouvé l'Internet. Ouais. Non, pas l'Internet. J'ai jamais trouvé social media productif pour moi-même en tant que self-knowledge, mindfulness, blablabla. Parce que il n'y a pas d'informations concrètes au point que tu peux vraiment sit down avec la personne puis le regarder puis leur comprendre et prendre catch their body language et tout. C'est vraiment complexe.
Ouais.
Fait que j'ai eu l'opportunité de faire des tournées avec ma musique et de rencontrer beaucoup de monde, beaucoup d'expériences de all walks of life from so many different situations.
C'est sûr! Wow!
So, j'ai trouvé ça beaucoup plus insightful comparé à 120 comments sur Internet.
Mais c'est ça aussi, parce que je me dis, là, t'as plein de commentaires, t'as « Hey, if you want to be an influencer, hit me up! » Puis tu sais, comment tu...
Yo, j'ai comme raté tout ça, man. Ça, c'est... J'étais complètement... Depuis ces 10 ans-là, depuis tous ces 10 ans, j'étais généralement disconnecté de l'Internet parce que j'ai déjà... Parce que, you study in cinema communication,
you
get to learn how just media is, is built together, which is what that's the practice. That's the job. You make the look, you get the final product, and the final product always needs to look optimal. I'm not saying perfect, just optimal, because that's what the people gravitate towards. But that's what I've learned going through studying cinema and media. Right. But I find it unfortunate a lot of people went through college without having to learn these things. But I didn't know that was something we needed to know in the future. I just thought it was something we need to know within TVA and maybe if you make it in LA in Hollywood. You know what I mean? I thought it was stuck to that. And the consumers are consumers. But now with social media, it just crossed over everyone, giving everyone the idea they could become or even get into media in general. I'm not even talking superstar. It gave the idea that everybody can jump into the media industry or music industry, whatever, entertainment industry. And that's...
Sans talent, without any
skill set to that complements that industry. It doesn't have to be a talent. It just has to complement it. It just has to be, you're okay, you're part of it. It makes sense. You're making the ball. You're rolling the momentum forward. It's really interesting because when I used to go to LA, I used to feel like everybody there wants to be famous, from even the janitor in my hotel.
Les relations que les gens ont avec toi ou whatever.
No. Just going around LA. You know what I mean? You'll see somebody cross the street and you'll be like, wow, you're trying to be famous. But that was before social media.
C'est like, le goal
really
the
thing.
Okay, ouais.
That was just in LA. You feel that when you go there. But now... I go anywhere in the world, everybody's trying to get famous. There's a lot of public figures.
Right.
It's a very broad term, public figures, or, you know, it's a very broad term. But there's certain public figures who are in whatever they are, just in it to take. They're not in it to just do both. You can take, but do both. You're taking to get and give. That's the point.
C'est vrai.
That's the balance. But... That's what I'm feeling at the moment. There's a lot of just take. So everything is getting run dry. And this is not just music. I'm feeling this in the gaming industry. I'm feeling this in the filming industry. Dude, in the 90s, man. The blockbuster films we used to have in the 90s were nuts. Yo, Requiem for a Dream, all that.
Tous des classiques.
All classics. Ouais. Those were the blockbusters. Ouais, they made millions. Now it's like to their own respect. They still have to make money. But what we have now, everything's drained out. So we have the same kind of superhero kind of movies. They work, but it's like, that's the reality of it. That's why it's repeating itself.
Ouais.
So,
mais est-ce que tu penses qu'il y a comme trop, dans le sens, moi, j'y ai pensé récemment, puis je pense beaucoup à ça. Je me dis, oh my God, on a tellement de choix, t'as tellement l'opportunité que c'est comme, c'est plus aussi bon qu'avant, parce que tout le monde peut, puis... Tout est accessible, il y a tellement d'artistes maintenant. Est-ce que c'est possible de make it, become a legend, gentil, parce qu'il y a tellement d'artistes.
The standard for uniqueness needs to be very high. You know, like, uniqueness to me needs to be somebody who I can't understand how they are, how they think as a creative, how they've come to be with so much, just the conclusion to whatever they think in life. Right. How did they even get to that? Right. A good example for me, Bjork.
Right.
I can't in my life of me think of how does she create. It's so deep. It's so complex.
C'est incroyable.
That's what I mean. Like, those are genius. Just so far out level.
C'est vrai.
That's what the standard should be to me. Especially because now everybody is able to do things.
Exact.
So if everybody is able to do things, so then the standard should be higher. And I am the norm. You know what I mean?
Je comprends.
You know what I mean? Me being able to design, do a lot of different things. I should be just the base level. So because we're all able to do these things, we should all be discovering new things. But the problem is, a lot of us don't have similar process of thinking, or not even thinking, process of creation.
Right.
A lot of people love to follow certain structures.
Right.
So when they get to the final product, they can get a quick reward out of it. So that's what I would see in the music industry. People would make a trippy trappy song to then release that and get a quick reward, being bookings, being more followers, whatever it could be.
Right.
It's something quick,
downloads,
and it happens,
whatever.
And it's there, yeah, and it gives you stats. Then you'll have people like me who see the result of getting followers, bookings, more secondhand to the motivation of wanting to just create for creation's sake. Because I feel like in my position now within the industry, I find that I'm becoming the guy who can make you feel comfortable to just talk about creative ideas.
Right.
And then music might happen, music might not happen.
Right.
But the point is, we're just here together and we're just discussing. Because we never get the chance to. Or people sometimes never let you get the chance to talk.
Comment tu fais ça pour travailler avec ces gens-là exactement? Que...
Well, so working with people who think differently and have a more conflicting way of seeing things.
Exact.
That's when empathy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Je pense que t'es empathetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Genre next level.
Oh yeah, that came from a lot of touring and meeting a lot of people, seeing their different situations, and then being like, well, right.
Mais ça a dû être dur des fois comme avoir cette empathy là. D'être tout le temps entouré de gens, new people, new kind of people, negative, positive.
Or the typical, like, they're all trying to fit a certain mold, but they don't know it consciously. Uh-huh. That's my empathy. It's I always know deep down everybody wants to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. I know there's a lot of bad people out, but the idea is from their perspective, they're trying to do good. Could
c'est
be bad from my view,
je comprends
but
ce que
good
tu
from
dire.
Their view.
C'est vrai.
But that's what makes me not go insane. That's all.
Mais comment tu fais pour deal with those people que...
Well, here's the thing. I've noticed the way I've dealt with them is that they notice that I'm not trying to feed them. I'm just there. I've had a guy try to annoy me on purpose once before a show. Ouais. Right before a show. So it was 30 minutes before my set. So I went in the back just to smoke a joint. I was somewhere in the States. A few years ago, I think.
Okay.
Three, 4 years ago. And I'm smoking my joint before my set. And then this guy, it's outside in the back alley. So this guy comes up.
What?
Sort of homeless-y.
Looking.
Sort of looking. He came up and he's just trying to just talk to me. So I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. You know? And I'm used to just giving my time.
Ouais,
just being like, cool, let's go.
Tellement chill.
Yeah.
Tellement
I'm like, cool, let's go. Because I know... Because he's so raggedy looking and he looks weird. He talks weird. I know nobody wants to talk to that guy. You know what I mean?
So that's where empathetic side comes. And you're like, oh.
It's like, look, I'll give you my whatever minutes needed.
Oh,
see where it goes.
This.
If it doesn't go anywhere, then I stop it there.
What?
I'm not going to be excessive. That's the thing. You can't never be excessive.
Non, c'est ça.
You don't want to give too much. You just give the bare basics and see where they go from there. If they can't pick themselves up from it, then you got to stop it from there. That's
true.
How I've been seeing it, at least.
True that.
So this is what I've been doing. I give him the bare basics of my full attention. And so
c'est
he's giving me a story, whatever story it is. I'm like, cool, very attentive. Huh, whoa, crazy, man. I'm happy. I'm smoking my joint. I'm about to play headline that night. I'm just like, I'm good. It's sold out night. You can talk all you want to me. You know,
I'm
he's
happy.
Talking.
Yeah.
So he talks for like 15 minutes straight, and I'm about to go in 15 minutes after that, and he just stops midway through his speech, and he's like, I don't think I could annoy you, huh?
No way.
And I was like, wait, what?
No way.
So you were trying to annoy me? And it was like, yeah. It was like, damn, that's, I mean, nah, I'm good, man. I'm a happy dude. I'm about to play my gig. I'm headlining tonight. Oh, shit. You're a DJ? Yeah. No, I'm a DJ. Oh, shit. I'm sorry, man. He wasn't. No, dude, I'm on in like 10 minutes. It's all good. They'll wait. He's like, yo, you have a good night, man. I'm like, it's all good, man. You have a good night.
Positive attitude. Yeah. C'est fou. Imagine si tu avais comme une complète autre attitude. Tu te laisserais affecter, en fait, par les autres, puis ça affecterait ta soirée. Yeah. Tu rentres après, puis t'es comme...
Oh, it would affect my performance.
C'est ça.
Yeah. No, I never let anything affect my performance, that's for sure.
Quand je parle de toi aux autres, y est humble, justement, puis si tu veux y parler, juste va y parler, puis il va juste être comme vraiment down de te rencontrer.
Yeah.
C'est la personne la plus down de rencontrer des gens, puis... Mais est-ce que...
Yeah, but I'm not out to meet people, that's the thing.
Ouais, je comprends,
I'm not vrai. I'm not an extrovert. Here's the difference I noticed between extroverts and introverts. The best way to know if you're an extrovert or an introvert is after a night of partying up until, let's say, 3 in the morning. Like, you're really 4 or 5, whatever. Push it. By the next morning or afternoon, whenever you wake up, what's the first thing you do? Me? I stand in silence or I sit in silence by myself at home for most of the day, if not the whole day. Because I need to balance it out from the... You see what I mean?
Ça a toujours été comme ça?
Always, even from shows. I'll do a festival, even if, it, say the festival, even if it's in the woods, right? I'll find like a river. I'll remember where that river is. I'll do my gig. Gig's done, bring me back to that river. I'll just roll my shit, I'll smoke, and I'll just listen to the water flow. And just in the distance, boom, boom, boom. But like, I don't want to hear that. I just want, you know what I mean? Wow, but that's so what an introvert is. Okay. You want to recharge alone. Or if with one, your loved one, you know, but it's very low key during the recharging phase. Extroverts, they love to recharge with a group of people. So like, let's go for brunch. You know what I mean? They recharge through brunch. You see what I mean?
Oui.
That's, to me, it's that's work. You feel me? Like, a word? I got it. A word? We're going to discuss a bunch. We just did yesterday. I'm like, I'm trying to balance out the amount here. So that's why I noticed, like, a lot of people who are introverts, it's not like out of shyness, because I think extroverts too can be shy, because I feel some extroverts will be silent in a group, being afraid that they might be too loud until they feel comfortable, then they're loud. You know? And then they're comfortable, and then the next day they want to chill again. You know what I mean?
Oui, c'est vrai.
So I noticed, like, okay, being shy can go both ways. But now the real difference is, what do you do after your event? Do you just chill alone and go, or do you chill alone and go, right, yo, how you doing, man? You good? You
know? Je comprends. Ouais. Yeah. C'est vraiment la différence, c'est le lendemain des choses. Mais justement, ça, est-ce que ça a pas été difficile quand t'as commencé? À comme tout le temps avoir des choses, puis être entouré de gens, puis... C'était quoi la différence de ton lifestyle? Parce que là, tu commençais à jouer au Coda, tu sais, comme une fois par mois ou quelque chose, mais c'est plus trop.
J'ai toujours gardé ça au minimum. C'est ça qui est intéressant. I didn't know why I kept it to a minimum. Well, only one reason. Ouais. Was because I didn't want to come across as a local DJ or a local artist.
Qu'est-ce que tu veux dire?
Parce que si je fais un résidence ou quelque chose comme dans même où je joue à chaque fin de semaine ou à chaque deuxième fin de semaine,
ouais.
People get used to you as being the local guy. So, oh, you're the local guy. You really get it turned up. Can you, you know, play here? And this guy go, oh, hey, you want to play here? Next thing you know, I'm just touring around Montreal.
Ouais.
That was my idea. They're like, the beginning of my career, I've planned out a lot of different things without a conclusion, just for fun, because I like goals.
Okay.
You know, like a goal doesn't mean you need to conclude it. It's just something to aim for.
Right.
Because if you don't have anything to aim for, you're stuck in a loop. And that was purely it. Goals, that's all. I want to put out an EP by then. Sure, okay.
C'est ça, goals like that, genre EP. Touring.
But that's the problem with a lot of folks now who are trying to be successful online or in SoundCloud is once they put out a song, they're hoping to blow up.
Okay.
The blow up is a conclusion. That's not a goal. Blow up is
a conclusion. Tu peux pas créer pour la conclusion, faut que tu crées pour le processus.
Exact. En fait. That's exactly how it works.
Ouais.
I only create for the process. I don't ever create for a conclusion. Drawing really is what got me, really what opened my mind to just arts in general.
Drawing.
Yeah, because my grandpa does it. He showed me how to draw.
Right.
A couple things, and then I started going from there, and then I discovered comics. I never was into buying comics and reading them. I read a bunch of manga, a lot of Dragon Ball, but beyond that, that's it. I wasn't into the comic world, but I love drawing comics. I love making my own characters. When I was 8 or something, and I was just sketch a bunch of shapes, square, circles, and whatever. And I remember drawing a square, and I drew some eyes, drew a nose, drew some feet on it. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I start drawing like a knight's helmet on it, a shield, a sword. And I was like, wow, this is going to be my main character. And I started making a whole series of this square knight. Yeah. And his triangle sidekick saving.
No way. Lunes,
it was crazy. It was because I was super into RPGs. I was playing a lot of Super Nintendo. So I was super into medieval stuff. I still am today. And I was so tuned into that whole world, creating a whole world within that square night.
C'est ton purpose, faut que tu crées. Fait. Puis après, tu t'es mis à la danse, le b-boying.
Yeah, breakdancing.
C'est venu plus tard.
Came with it because my sister is what she would teach me a lot about dancing in general, because she would do a lot of choreographies from like TLC, Backstreet Boys. All of that.
Nice.
And she would drag me in to her room and force me to do some Backstreet Boy moves, but I was all right with it. I was like, cool, seems fun.
Trop cute.
I liked it. And then that sort of stuck with me because I always found dancing fun.
What?
My grandparents, big dancers as well, salsa and all that stuff. They do it all the time. So I was always surrounded by people dancing too for the enjoyment.
C'est comme usual stuff pour toi de danser.
Yeah, yeah. It was it always meant like happiness.
Te voir performer, c'est comme pas très usual pour un DJ set. J'ai pas vu ça souvent. Ton no. kind of performance.
But it's weird. To this day, it's been 10 years.
Puis j'en vois pas. Je dis.
And I encourage it too. Well, there's a few people now I could probably name, like Ikali.
Okay.
He's another one who's heavily influenced by the way I perform.
Okay.
And I've met him, even at my shows too. I've met him. He's come for a bunch of those of my shows actually, but now he's a really big artist now, and I've seen one of his shows, and it was perfect, man. He's got his own way of having to connect with the crowd when he goes in front, so that's why I encourage, because there's no way, because here's the thing, for a lot of, they all have to remember that you're an individual, so unless somebody cloned you at some point, there's no way anybody's going to completely copy you to the T. Even if they try to copy you to the T, it's still not you. That's the point.
It's a fact. It's still not you. What?
That's why I never understood. I do understand when there's certain headliner DJs who restrict openers to play certain songs. There's like a thing where, you can't play this song, you can't play that song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But for me, I'm like, play whatever you want. I don't care. Even if I play it, it's going to feel different. That's the point. I give them my energy take on it, and then they feed off of it, and it's like, right, I feel the same. The way I'm moving on, I've had people come up and say, the way you moved on stage is exactly how I felt when I heard the song. I was like, perfect. That's what I was hoping to help translate that to the people.
À quoi tu penses? Je sais que peut-être que tu penses à rien pendant que tu performes, pendant que tu danses.
Before it was just blurred out.
Ouais, c'est ça.
Au début, c'était juste comme straight up blur, and now, it's done. But now, I'm able to think everything to the detail and still let go at the same time. So it's like, for example, now I'm a lot better at my breathing technique while I perform.
T'es moins soufflé, comme t'es moins fatigué.
Yeah, and because of that, I could upkeep my energy at the same level throughout the show for a lot longer. Because of the breathing technique, and I'm still there. Are like some multiple things I pay attention to and try to improve in my performance. Like even my water bottle drinking times need to be a lot more frequent, because I notice if I do it a lot more often, but in shorter amounts, it's enough to nourish my muscles and hydrate them, so I can keep really going. It's a pure exercise experience for me. Yeah. But I still, even off touring, I consistently train to upkeep the physique. So ouais. When I'm on stage, it just hasn't changed since 10 years ago.
Non, c'est ça. Yeah. Fait que tu traînes, t'as un trainer, t'as eu
quelqu'un. Oh, well, years ago, I started, almost 7, 8 years ago, I started with a trainer. I had a, so when, like, the Tonight stuff was happening, that's when I got a personal trainer. So I've learned a lot from him, to the detail, because you know how I am. I love to ask questions and go more in depth. And he really enjoyed it because he hasn't had the chance to train somebody who was that curious about it. And it wasn't about muscle definition. It was all about understanding the body. I knew I needed to transform my body, almost wake it up in that kind of way. And he really helped me wake up parts of my body, my core, my lats, everything, a lot of different parts. And it took a lot of training to finally improve on that. And it was really weird because I almost felt like an android because with the improvement, because I've never in my life been in that kind of shape. And I remember my first week of touring with that kind of
shape.
And man, that shit was easy. I mean, it's still easy to this day, but I just remember that first day. I'd do the whole gig an hour and a half, and I'd be like, yeah, this is great. I'm not sore. Man, this is perfect. Wow. Like, no more neck soreness, no more back soreness, no more nothing. You know what I mean? My recovery time is like nothing. I never get sick. It's crazy. I mean, to this day still. It's amazing, knock on wood. But that's sort of a reason why I started treating it like an athlete would. Now I've been doing a ton of yoga. But very specific in terms of what I'm working on right now. I'm doing a 14-week... No. 14 days.
14 days.
I probably could. I don't even care. I'll just zone out and do it. But 14 days for strength conditioning because it's really, 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 really hard. Yoga's one of the hardest things for me. And
fait que tu fais 14 days yoga.
This is for strength conditioning. Well, I was already doing a bunch before that. Mm-hmm. First things first, I need to improve my hips, my core, my arms, shoulders. All the parts that need to be used the most within that practice.
C'est ça, fait que tu penses toujours à pourquoi je fais ces choses-là, comme est-ce que j'en ai besoin.
Exactly. And the reason why I'm very much interested in yoga now is because of its longevity, as opposed to traditional exercising. Ouais. There's definite quick results.
C'est vrai.
It's a good way to quickly build a frame for your body, but the long-term consequence is just too high in terms of joints and pain and a lot of things. Whereas yoga is consistent movement, but within the range of something of being within the range of not injuring yourself is what it is, because they tell you if it hurts, then you shouldn't do it like that and just take a step back.
Right.
And that kind of thinking is what I brought into my weightlifting programs when I started weightlifting, so I wouldn't have to injure myself, and I would always be all about form. It never was about the conclusion of what I might end up looking like. It was always about trying to maintain the body in the same way how people maintain their cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to that.
Et la deuxième fois que j'ai fait du yoga, c'est la première fois que j'étais consciente de mon corps. Ça a l'air con, mais comme compris comment mon corps fonctionnait un peu plus.
That's the reason why I do it, because it's the most consistent. Man, you can do it to the old age. That's the thing.
Ouais.
And it'll help you till forever. And I wish that was the main exercise for everyone. Or it was widely accepted as the main exercise.
Tellement.
Because that would be the exercise for the everyday human being.
Right.
Weightlifting and all that intensive, high intensity. I did so many kinds. I did everything besides, a lot of things besides, not everything, but a lot of things besides like the more obvious ones like CrossFit and I avoided that. It's too weird. it's just like, it's a different thing. It's like, I don't have the body for these wild moves. I don't see how that's going to be productive. I've already done my breakdancing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as like breakdancing. So it's like, breakdancing breaks your body, man.
Pour vrai? Ouais, t'as ça.
It's breakdancing.
Tu pourrais pas le faire, là, genre...
No, I could still do it.
Ouais.
Probably better now, because I'm in better shape.
C'est ça, en fait, ouais.
But the thing is, over time, it breaks your body.
Mm, okay, ouais.
You know? Because of all the movements, repetitive movements, but they're
their repetitive movements at the most extreme range. So it's like a lot, there's a lot of muscle breaking, mechanical breaking, I don't know how you call it. Like when you're catching your weight, there's a lot of muscle involved to catch your weight.
Ouais, les pressions.
So there's a lot of that in breakdancing. So there's nonstop of these things that you're always crushing down to the ground and blah, blah, blah. That's sort of how I saw CrossFit in a lot of those like sporty kind of exercise events. My motivation is more to its core of how can I upkeep that as a lifestyle thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wanted to take out the bad feeling I get from thinking I gotta exercise. Ugh. You know?
Ouais.
But now I don't have that anymore. I have fun. All
mais parce
fun.
Que tu vois la différence aussi dans ton corps, fait que t'es comme ah.
Well, that's not you're right. Ouais. Of course, because of the way I perform, the way I feel, my mood, everything. I haven't had anything. I never pulled the muscle, even from performing. I've never pulled a muscle. I've only messed up an ankle because it was like a stupid thing there. It was I got punched in the face.
Oh, okay, great. Casual story. Mm-hmm. All right, go on.
It was so stupid, man.
Est-ce qu'on peut savoir?
Yeah, it's fine. It's I was performing in, I forgot where it was, but in the States. And then I performed, do my thing. I'm about to finish my set. And then the stage manager comes up and he's like, hey, you can't stop now. You got to continue. Because, this rapper, well, I won't even name him. It's all good. This rapper, he's not going to show up in the end. Or no, he's not. He showed up, but he's not going to perform in the end. Because I don't know.
Okay.
If there's a complication and it's not to their standard, they have to cancel it. So it probably was something not to his standards, so he was basically intending to cancel. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to continue my set.
No problem.
And as I continue my set, people are enjoying themselves. All of a sudden, stage manager comes back up. No, you got to stop it right now. He's coming up now. Jesus. I'm like, whoa, wait. Okay, I mean, you should have told me a few minutes ago, at least, or something.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I just stop it abruptly, you know? And everybody's like, no, why'd you stop? Mm. You know, they don't know what's going on. I'm not going to freaking explain anything.
Hey, guys, they told me I was going
to... Yo, guy, you know how many people do that? Like, who cares? Like, seriously, who cares? It's just a night like any other night. Everybody's drunk. Who cares? Huh? Boop, boop. Yeah, okay, complain, whatever. You're going to forget after. You know what I mean? That's the whole thing. But everybody will grab the mic like, oh, looks like I got to stop.
Because told me I need to stop, but they...
Jesus. Yeah, they don't need to know that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I close my stuff. Then I'm furious at the stage manager. So I'm just going like, hell, I'm like, yo, do you know how to freaking run a show? You need to communicate better. You need to not do this in advance. So I'm basically explaining to the stage manager how to run a lineup smoothly. And as I'm explaining, out of fucking nowhere, a fucking fist comes in my left eye.
Ben,
like full on. I'm just like, huh?
Wow.
I fall off the stage. I only fucked up my ankle because I fell off the stage.
No way.
Yeah. So I'm just like, because I got pushed back by the punch. And I'm just like, wait, what? And I just like, huh? And I just remember, oh, missed my step. Oh, shit. And I'm just like, I'm just full of adrenaline. I'm like, what the hell went on? And I just see this like 6 foot big black security guy. What's up, nigga? I'm just like, are you serious?
Oh,
the first thing I say is, are you serious? What? What? You look at me like, I'm like, what? Huh? And the stage manager is tripping. He's like, what are you doing? Turns out the security is the security of the rapper.
Okay.
And he thought I was causing some kind of scene talking to the manager. So he thought I was about to get... Because like...
Oh my God.
The reason why I didn't care is because... He's just a hood dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're from the fucking hood, you're always up in arms because it's basically that.
Je comprends. Ouais.
So when you're in the general world of the artists and fans and whatever, the general music entertainment world, but still up in arms, you would catch body language the wrong way. So I'm sure that's pretty much what happened.
Oh my God.
He probably thought I had my dukes up and I was ready to throw down.
Ouais, c'est ça. C'est sûr.
I'm stern when I'm trying to make a perfectly valid point.
Ouais.
You know what I mean?
Ouais.
But never will I fight.
Non, c'est ça. Mais lui, c'est ça parce qu'il est habitué à
He's
ça.
He's used to that.
Exact.
So there he goes hitting me with that shit. Well, obviously the rapper himself called me up directly, apologized, realized who he hit, and it was nice to know that it was like, oh yeah, Ludus, what do you mean?
Okay,
he fired his guy.
Okay.
He straight up like...
Great.
It's good to know that the people's got my back like that. I ain't got to do nothing. Because I'm a nice guy. So everybody was like, dude, everybody was devastated. They were like, who the hell did what to what? They were like, yo, what? No, hell no. And I was like, nah, it's all good, man. Whatever, man. He just got to pay my bills. He just got to pay my hospital bill and that gig I missed tomorrow. I'm good, man. I don't care. That's what I told my team. And he called me and I was like, it's all good, man. He's like, yo, if you need to sue... I understand. I'm like, nah, man, it's all good. I ain't trying to do no hassle, man.
Right.
Just cover my hospital bill and my next gig that I missed. I just had one more gig left. Right. And it's like, oh, man, you two, nah, don't worry about it. It's all good. Right. As long as you fire him, it's all good, man. I'm just out. I'm like, yeah.
Est-ce que t'as toujours une positive attitude like that? Envers les choses?
Yeah. Only in high school when I hit puberty is when I was very out of whack.
Okay, genre negative, more...
Yeah, like any teenage.
Ouais.
Just hit. 13 years old.
Ouais, mais en même temps, there's different kind of comme teenage crisis. Là,
mine was just short temper. But it was always short temper for good. I would always get mad because I wanted the class to continue and people to shut the fuck up. That was my...
No way.
Wow. People...
Step fuck up.
It was no joke, though. I'm surprised I never got kicked out of my school for this one crazy one, though.
Okay,
I was in like Christian class or whatever you call it, right? Catholic class.
Right,
or,
Catholic. Right,
religion. And religion, yeah. As the teacher was writing on the board, there was this one freaking ratty kid just giving the finger to everyone in the class, right? Like classic high school vibes. I'm here sitting, I don't like this class. This class is boring. I'm just trying to get by. People are just pissed at this guy. I'm looking at him, and I'm like, yo, stop it, man, stop it. Keep telling him, stop it. He's like, yeah. Gives me the finger some more.
What the hell? The fingers.
Right? just your classic disturbed kid with bad parents, most likely. It's just that. And then just not enough I love yous, probably. You know what I mean? You need a bunch of that in life. My mom always gave me I love you, no matter what. My mom always says I love you. finger. And sure enough, the teacher only hears me because I'm telling him, like, yo, shut up. You know? Mm-hmm. And he turns around and looks at me. He's like, Lunas. Go to the pass.
Okay.
Like we're in the present, going to the pass.
Okay.
But it's the detention hall. So I've never in my life been to the detention hall. Like, I don't want to be no trouble, no nothing.
Did they find trouble?
Yeah, but I was full of freaking hormones, man. All the purity, all deep. And so he does that. So my heart goes hot. I'm like, what? But he was, and everybody was like, no, but he was the other guy doing the finger. He was the one disturbing the whole class. Everybody defended me.
What?
And he didn't care. Teacher didn't care. It's like, nope, you're going to detention.
Oh, my God.
I was like, hell no, I'm not going to detention. Because I knew if I went to detention, my mom would kill me. Like, a classic Asian mom.
Wait.
And I'd be like, oh, hell no, I don't even fuck. It was do or die at this point, right? Bruh. Like, boy, I snapped. I went in my fucking how do you call it? It's really the crayon.
What?
I take on an exacto, man. Straight.
Okay.
I click that out. Everybody goes, oh! I fucking go towards the guy. I'm up on a chair with an exacto at his face. I'm like, oh. Bruh. That was single d'art, Klaus Religion.
What?
I was like, I was peak teenage hormonal rage. Bro, I was, with zero intent to actually do it, I was just so mad. I needed to give him such a scare. I had zero intent to do it.
Wow.
But I just needed to give him something to fucking scare shit his pants. Everybody just goes silent. And I just start, like, crying. I'm like, you know, I'm just looking at him. Then I start crying. I'm like, this is bullshit. Throw the fucking exacto on the wall. Freaking blows up into pieces, right? Next thing, I go on my desk. I start crying. Next thing you know, the class start grabbing all the pieces and they place my exacto back together and put it on my desk.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, thank you. I put it in my thing. And I just, because people had my back. All I wanted was the class to continue.
C'est ça, parce que they knew you weren't in the wrong.
No.
Qu'est-ce que le gars a fait? Le gars,
Oh, he shut up, bro. But ever since then, people started hollering at me to show whoever else in the class was messing around. So I'll be in history class, which I loved, because she would be, she's amazing, amazing teacher, and she would make it so interesting. And I always would love to listen more, and then somebody else would fuck around, and she would be like, shut up, shut up, shut up. And then people were like, yo, Lou, snap on him. And I'm like, nah, dude, nah. But not like the same thing like before. Just like I scream at people to shut up and they shut up. But I'm like, nah, I don't like it because it doesn't make me feel good at all. You know, I would just wait till people stop asking me. And then if he continues, I'll wait. And then teacher starts turning red. Then I'm like, okay. And I start getting up. Okay, you need to shut up. And I start going in. I'm like, no, because you know, we're trying to do this. And he's like, okay.
Luna's the guy that shuts people up.
It was like, yo, without hitting nobody, man. I never resorted to fighting. Wow. Never, ever. I always would talk them down to just stop it. Like, what's the point? And then, yeah, we continue with the class. And he's like, yo, thanks. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I hate doing this, man. Don't ask me again. And ever since then, by like single d'ardeur, I was like, you know what? Nah, I'm done. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go into like underground hip hop, break dancing, gonna forget chicks, ride a skateboard, wear a safari hat, wear LRG, listen, you know, the good stuff. What? Listen to jazz at some point. You know, like this is when I gave up trying to be a high school kid. You know, I just was like, you know what? I'll just be weird, dude. Weird dude. Not even a teenager. I didn't even feel like a teenager. I just felt like, meh, weird dude. Whatever I saw was cool dudes doing weird stuff. I want to do that.
Why, sister?
It's like how kids today have Odd Future. You know what I mean?
Je comprends, ouais.
Same vibe.
Fait comment t'as découvert le jazz? Comment?
Ça, c'était à
cause... Ça a influencé ta musique aussi plus tard. Ça influence encore aujourd'hui, sûrement. Le cinéma aussi, ça influence énormément ta musique.
Yeah, genre. Exact. Exact. Fait,
comment tout ce monde artistique-là est entré dans ta vie?
C'est à cause du... It was pretty much right after high school when I started making music. I had to finish my French classes in is école d'adulte.
Ouais.
And it was pretty much around then. It's when I started making music, making really weird beats. And then
au début, le genre quand t'as au cégep?
No, before cégep.
Okay.
That's it, straight up.
Okay.
Right before going to Dawson. But before that, how I got into jazz was like secondary three, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Got into it because my cousin Kevin. We were already breakdancing to jazz sampled music. He was the first one to dig into jazz artists from it. And then he found a song. He sent me Miles Davis, Autumn Leaves. And he was like, yo, listen to this. It really feels like it's a story. And that was like, it was that summer when me and Kevin were really listening to a lot of alternative rock too.
Okay.
Like we were in our emotions. Like, why do girls like?
Hard life, am I right?
Hey, teenage angst.
teenage angst.
And then it was just beautiful. It was like hearing that song, Autumn Leaves, by Miles Davis. Hearing that song was just...
Incroyable, cette chanson.
It was very freeing and so, so cool sounding. It sounded so cool, made me feel cool. Made me feel liberated. That song is what sort of started my whole philosophy of just having to do me and my thing and just not worry about whatever's around. Everything is just falling leaves like that song is. You know, like sort of that was my impression of that song. So I've just expanded on that kind of idea since 2003. The last year of high school, I was chilling with my cousin. She is 1 year behind me and I remember it was this random ass dude walking by. She was like, oh my God, the most popular guy in school. And I was like, oh shoot, I'm about to graduate next month. And I totally forgot about popularity. I was like, damn, this is sick. I felt like I skipped it. I felt like I skipped all the bullcrap popularity contest stress.
T'étais content, hein?
Hell yeah.
C'est ça, ouais.
I was glad I skipped it and didn't realize all those years that, oh yeah, popularity, that's a thing in here.
So you were happy.
I was so, like, by the time I met Kevin, I was good. You know what I'm saying? Right. I didn't need to know anybody else. I didn't need to speak to anybody else. Like, I'll speak in conversation with other people in groups, but I ain't gonna hang out with nobody else. All I knew was Kevin. Kevin was like me. We're good.
Ça représente aussi ton no need of more, genre.
Yeah, yeah. It's still something I consistently work on. How much more can I strip down? How much more can I simplify?
Right.
Because that's what lasts over time. Because the more you strip down and whatever stays around is what's gonna last. And it's just, it's a constant practice. But I'm getting a lot better at it now. You can open my drawers and before even tidying up. You know what I mean? Bruh.
No.
I've been the Japanese woman. Arigato gozaimasu. You're saying? Like, bruh.
No,
I've been tidy. But I love that show. Like everybody else does. And I'm very happy everybody loves that show.
Ouais, c'est bien.
Because that's going to help everybody's mental state.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different from a workout. Because okay, it will. Ouais. Because the point is, it will get dirty again. Like your muscles will get soft again. Mm-hmm. Then you have to wake them up and you have to clean it up again. It's a constant in and out. Like breathing. Breathing is infinite till the end of life.
Ouais, c'est ça.
So should be, to me, so should be having to constantly reorganize and organize your space that you live in.
Ça explique tellement de choses. Ça explique tellement de choses sur ton succès et tout là. Genre, ah, c'est tellement ça. C'est comme toute l'attitude envers le temps, genre.
Time.
Ton attitude envers le temps.
How do you value it?
Littéralement, t'es comme, tu sais que c'est ça qu'il faut faire pour pas nécessairement être heureux, pas juste achieve happiness. C'est pas ça. C'est plus comme
the value of it. And because of how much I value it, my priorities are different from somebody who's just consistently thinking of what's next or what's in the future or what's
for
to come.
Them,
yeah, c'est ça. That's why I find it messes up a lot of people whenever they start thinking about legacies. That's a conclusion. Legacy is like the end of the book, so you can have the legacy for your family. When it's like, whoa, well then what happens if whatever you're planning for that legacy doesn't happen?
Right.
Then for most people, they feel completely distraught and they're like, man, I messed up in life. Nothing's going my way. Dude, it was one thing that didn't go your way.
Mm-hmm.
Like to me,
okay, je comprends.
You see what I mean? Because like, for me, I feel like people should put the idea that a legacy shouldn't be of what you build as a family and an extension of whether it's wealth, land, or wherever. People always think about it in that way. But to me, a legacy is more of what you just give presently over time, even if it's the smallest gesture. Your impression is your legacy to me. What do people remember you by? Mm-hmm. You know,
and
when people trust you, that's when you know your legacy is locked in with them.
How do you know people trust you?
They just like you.
You feel it.
Yeah. Ouais. They trust you in a way. How can I explain it? I typically get, normally when people hit me up for like a gig, for example, like recently was Flying Lotus. He couldn't make a gig, so hits me up out of nowhere. But that's what happens often. It's people hit me up out of nowhere. I don't reach out to people. I never reach out to people.
Wait.
Because I know their space and they need respect in their space. Him amongst the many other people would hit me up and often it would be a conversation going like, couldn't do this, but if there was one person I knew who'd be able to do it, show up, and perform to the T and give the crowd what they needed, it would be you.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know somebody trusts you. It's similar when you're in a workspace and you have your manager and he's not ordering you. He's not saying, do this, do that. He's coming up and he's saying, hey, I think you'd be good for this. That's trust. He's not ordering you to do this. He's saying, I think you might be good for this. You were the person I thought of for this project. That's trust. Because the people I work with, I'm very fortunate to this point that I'm able to do what I do for over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because I've built trust with them and they've built trust with me
over
time. And once we've had this trust, it's like a relationship. It's over time. They don't just trust you, but it's like, okay, that happened once with Flylo, but it doesn't mean he fully trusts me. It just means this is the pattern. Ah, he did it. He performed to the T. We'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Do it again. Fuck, I trust this guy at this point. You see what I mean? It's a build. It's a relationship build you build over the years. Trust is over the years. You just can't have it overnight. It's a whole thing.
Right.
And that's what solidifies a legacy to me, at least. And
tellement.
You don't have to aim for it.
Tellement.
You just to gain trust, you just have to work well with people and be a better person. And just be more honest about things and straightforward. Yeah, it's tough, man.
Moi, je suis comme, comment Lou, il fait, comme, il reste tellement comme lui, comme tu es.
Well, I keep a lot of things, la répétition. There's a lot of things I keep throughout my life that I've never stopped, like fishing, home cleaning. Recently, I've been enjoying cooking a lot.
Okay.
But fishing, home cleaning, exercising, which could mean exercise or whatever.
C'est comme ta base.
It's the main framework, exactly.
C'est ça.
You always need a main framework to fall back on, no matter what. Because even if you were to be sad, you could still do yoga or meditation or something you've already practiced that could help center you again.
Ouais, c'est ça.
Because everything really, it's fascinating. I've been noticing a lot of research and doctors coming out saying about how complex the brain is in terms of influencing the rest of your body. And with your gut, microgut biome directly linked to the brain and all that stuff, then made me a lot more conscious of my mood and how it affects my injuries, everything. I'm sure weed helps for sure to an extent for managing anti-inflammation, but if there's one thing, I vape a lot of weed for the most part, or I'm a big cannabis enthusiast, but I never use it as, it's because I do that, that's why I'm great. If there's one thing people notice, I never advocate cannabis in that way. I always talk about every natural body practice possible that could help your well-being first, because that's where it should start. And then you can use a tool like cannabis to help give you a layup into the groove.
Mais c'est pas le cannabis, c'est pas le...
It's not where you start.
La base, c'est pas le cannabis, c'est...
Yeah.
Les autres choses sur lesquelles tu rely
it's everything that your body already has, but you don't know. You just gotta reach in and open it up.
C'est ça.
Yeah. And opening up can be in a stretch. You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm realizing over time. I'm like, man, this is crazy. I should have been doing yoga for a long time.
Ouais, mais là.
But I'm only 30, so I'm good. Let's go.
C'est ça, je suis comme, you got time. Parce que là, tu te retrouverais à 40. Oh, I should have been doing yoga. Là, you. I did yoga for the last 10 years. That's good.
Yeah,
tu
right.
Peux dire ça comme
Ooh.
Ça. Là.
Oh, yeah. 10 years. Ooh. Oh, that's going to be a good one.
Fait que là, c'est quoi tes plans pour la prochaine, les prochaines décennies? Parce que tu as fait des gros projets lately. Là.
Oh, il y avait le.
Ça n'a pas arrêté. Là.
C'est le prochain projet pour Tonight.
OK, fait que c'est Tonight. Part 2, genre?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Oh, on n'a jamais quit. C'était moi qui avais l'idée d'arrêter le projet. It was only because things was getting too out of hand.
Okay.
Everything was building up too fast.
Ouais.
It's not a good environment. What I notice is that when people, especially in this time and age, if you end up making a song, it's not even a hit. Just like if you make end up making a song that becomes viral. Because I feel like viral and a hit is total two different things now to me.
Mais oui.
You know what I mean?
Oh, ouais.
Something could be viral and not even be a hit.
Ouais, non, c'est sûr.
So when something can totally go viral, and the way your career goes up from a viral standpoint is almost, how can I explain it? It's almost, or it is very confusing.
Okay.
That's a very a good way to say it. Confusing in the way because nobody would ever, no human would ever be ready to... all of a sudden gain so much information thrown towards you at the same time from all directions. And each of those info is worth 10,000 and up in terms of offers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just everywhere. So, like, you might end up having your team be like, we need the opportunity. You know what I mean? So, a lot of people end up blowing up overnight or because something big happened. Get caught off guard and then things end up trickling down over time and then they end up going crazy, you know? But it's not because they were already crazy. I don't know their situation, but the pattern I've seen is that it's not that they started already crazy. It's more they didn't have the opportunity, just straight up, didn't have the opportunity to brace themselves to the wave of viral media falling on them because that's heavy. And no normal human being, I feel, could take it to go through it and be sane. Some can, I think. But man, are they lucky. They had the right people around them. They really went through it hard. They worked at it hard. So when the Tonight stuff was really starting to build up, the first thing we started noticing is like, well, a lot of people are starting to get in this, put us in this trippy trap stuff. Not good. Not that we didn't like it. It's just the idea of how viral that whole... genre was becoming wasn't sitting right with us. It didn't feel genuine. It didn't feel like it would last long. So, and we're all about longevity of just being around. And I came up with the name Tonight. And the reason why is because I didn't want it to come off as like a duo name. I wanted it to come off as like a club night. So when people call the name out, it feels like going to a club night. So it keeps things in general. And then it was the label creative director and founder, Dominic, who had the idea to put both our names underneath to make sure people know this is us, this is the project.
Okay, why?
So every booking different is always things. Hudson Mohawk Lunas tonight. When that started really, from the jump, we were very much in control of the amount of information we give out and the amount of information we take in. So in the way we were very in control of that was that we would be very selective of every offer. And every offer needed to be something of, it would never come from a place of it being, because it's a popular festival. It always had to be something, this festival is interesting and they're in the forefront of something. Mm-hmm. The only big festival commercial one we did was Coachella. That's the more obvious one. Mm-hmm. But every other thing we'd done would be like Sonar and like all these really high tech, creative kind of events, and that's what we were very specific. So it's like it's all very much similar to how Daft Punk did their careers. They rejected everything from working with Britney Spears and all those things because they were specific about keeping it. It's not even like I guess people would call it true to heart. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to, I guess if I want to be more broad with my what I'm trying to say is that they're trying to just keep it consistent within their own perspective. So it doesn't go out of hand. Their own framework.
Wait.
Their framework, not perspective. Their framework. Okay. They said we're this, that, and this, and this, and that. We're keeping it that way.
That's it. Right.
Yeah. So that's how we pretty much established it. So when things started getting too out of hand, when we started doing a lot of shows, now here's the other problem.
Right.
When you do a lot of shows, alcohol and drugs and all that stuff is so readily available. But me, I'm just a guy that just does weed, and I rarely drink alcohol. But Hudmo, he being Scottish, there's Scotland, dude, they drink, you know, they're Tuta. So wait. Used it's like Quebecois, it's Quebecois here, bro, we drink, you know, Quebecois so people drink just as much as the Scottish do, I feel, you know, I don't know how by the numbers, but in terms of impression and culture, they're very similar in terms of their admiration for that drink.
Why?
That's it. It's not like, I want to drink it fucked up. They just have this admiration, a cultural admiration for alcohol. And, an appreciation of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you combine that cultural upbringing with an environment of free booze, it's a bad look.
Okay, fix
so that. It exhausts the shit out of you. Okay. So the more you drink, the more you got to do show, the more you're exhausted. Yeah.
Ça mène à des problèmes de
so
santé
that was
aussi.
Really, yeah, exactly.
Mental,
it was really
fatigue.
Mental. Yeah, exactly. If your body gets tired, it goes straight up to your mental.
Right.
And then that was tiring him out, which was in exchange tiring us out. Because it was just too much. It was just too taxing of the drinking. And that's when I was like, no, we need to stop it.
Okay.
We need to stop this project. And then in order, well, I had a plan with it. So it was to stop the project, refresh. Because it felt like a writer's block. It felt like similar to that. You know what I mean?
Why?
So it's like, oh, writer's block. Okay, let's stop it. But the team was like, no, but there's so many opportunities. I'm like, look, let me explain. He's going to do an album. I'm going to do an album. And at some point in time, we'll get back together and we'll make a bunch of stuff and it'll feel just like the first time we did it. That's exactly what just happened.
Bien joué.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did my album, he did his album. Well, he did his album first and then I did my album after. And then all of a sudden, you're like, you know what? Let's try some shit out. The first song we did, oh boy, was it fun. Hey, man.
The first time you did what?
The first song we did just now.
The first song. Okay, recently, wait.
The first song we did is, it's so fun. It feels just like, because to gain more an idea, the first song we did the first time, was what ended up being Blood on the Leaves.
Okay.
That's the first song we ever did together. Like, you know what? Let's try something. Okay. That's fun.
Wow.
So now we got back together. We did something else completely different. And we want to put that out as a single. And I feel like it'll be great.
Because
we'll be laughing because it's like people won't expect it.
It'll
be like,
sweet.
They won't expect the style. But then as it goes further, they'll be like, right. Fuck. You know, like it makes you think. So it's like, oh, this is great. This is we didn't lose anything. All we did was we took time to take care for ourselves.
Puis Lucy Hudson était comme, I know I need time.
Exactly.
T'sais, il était pas comme un...
No, he knew he needed time.
Exactly. Il était okay with it parce que ça aurait pu donner.
No, he was tired of the environment.
No, he was. Comme, I can do
he was
it.
Always
it's
saying,
okay.
No, that's the difference.
Ouais.
A lot of people go like, I could do it. Let's go. No, he knew it. He knew, like, before even we were doing, like, before we would get into a whole tour, it was right before that. And he was like, nah, it's ridiculous. If I were to continue, then it's just going to exhaust me. And I'm like, fuck yeah, it is. Now let's stop this.
Okay.
Yeah, bon. No, he wasn't. No. He was already well aware of that.
Oh my God.
So that's what led me to be like, no, let's just stop it then. He just didn't know if I wanted to stop it or not. You know, it's hard to know.
It's like,
no, fuck it, I don't care.
Right.
we made our point.
And you trust each other?
Yeah, exactly. It was Diplo who pretty much put me on.
Après Oshiaga, parce que t'avais le set.
It was Oshiaga. The picnic set. Ouais. The picnic stage. In Oshiaga. It was tiny, man. He was doing a Major Lazer set, too.
Ouais,
it was like one of the first Major Lazer sets. And he was probably, must have hit 30 or 28 or something like that when he saw me play. Yeah, I think he must have been 30 my age now when he saw me play. And just watching. No, was he using a suit then?
Je pense qu'il était un suit.
Yeah, he was the suit.
J'étais là, je
Yeah, he was on a suit. Yeah, yeah. You're right. On a hot day, man. I don't know how you did it.
Ah, je sais pas. Là, il t'a vu jouer. Il y avait le snap song là, que t'as fait.
Yeah, the snap song, the whole Lil B cooking song.
Ouais, 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 exact.
Teach everybody to cook. And I could see him laughing in the corner and hitting me up right after. He didn't, because we didn't know each other, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it was by email. He got my email from probably Marie-Laure or something.
Okay.
And he then hit me up on email out of nowhere. And I was like, whoa, weird. He's like, hey, you got your own swag, man. And he asked me if I was part of a management team. And I wasn't. So he's like, oh, yeah, I'm starting a management team with my manager.
Okay.
Do you want to join? I'm like, sure.
Why not?
I hit up my label. I'm like, hey, guys, looks like I'm part of Diplo's management team. It's like, that's great. God. I'm like, yeah, sick.
Oh, my God. Fait que là, t'as reçu un courriel de lui.
Yeah, it's pretty much just saying that, to join his team. It's been great. I've been very lucky because I remember having a discussion with my manager, and I was trying to explain to him my position within the whole management team. And it was at around a point, I forgot what book I was reading, but it was about just the process of business a bit. And it was really interesting because it was talking about an 80-20 ratio, meaning that you make 80% of your revenue from this one popular item, and you use 20% of the rest of the revenue for research and development experimentation and all that stuff. So I took that idea and figured I could totally fit within that 20% as their artist to do research and development, trying things out, experiment, come up with ideas, and then discuss it with everybody else. So that's pretty much how I sort of broke down my position within the management team and how I see myself through in the future and how they could make their 80% out of all the main acts like A-Track, Diplo, and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm the 20% that they can just have fun with and try things out. And, because I'm always just constantly thinking things. And whenever they hit me up, I'm like, yeah, here. Got this idea and I'm like, let's run with that, let's try with that. It's almost like the reverse, where usually the management team that goes out to gain a bunch of different opportunities, it's more I've created my own momentum. But I've always done that since the beginning, right? Because I never would play that many gigs in the city.
Mm-hmm.
It was to not be a local DJ, and then because of that, it gave people the impression that I was an international DJ. Because I wasn't around often.
What?
And I'm not the kind to go out to clubs either. My first club experience was Zubizarre, that first gig I had.
Yeah,
we invited everyone.
Laser.
It was just Bass Culture.
Bass Culture, okay. Mais il n'y avait pas Phil.
It's Phil and
Seb.
Seb. That was on Saturday, I think. And then on Sunday was Megazoid. But then after I played that first. That my first time, then we decided to put them together. Because what happened is that I did my first gig ever in my first club experience at Bass Culture. And then Rob was there. He's like, hey, is your first time? And I said, yeah, it's my first time playing. He's like, whoa, you want to play my gig tomorrow? Yeah, sure, I'll open. And then I played that one. And then I remember after that gig, it was like, you know what? We should just all just join up and make up our own night. Mm-hmm. And that's what became Turbocrunk.
Right.
Yeah.
6-2.
Yeah, 6-2. Ouais, yeah, exactly.
Fait que là, ça, c'est ton premier gig.
Yeah.
Turbo Crunk, là, après Oshiaga. Mais Lucky Me, ça fait longtemps que t'es avec eux.
Lucky Me was pretty much during the Turbo Crunk time.
Okay, c'est ça.
Ouais. Yeah, then Oshiaga thing, then meeting Diplo afterwards. So already a bunch of like TurboKunk stuff happened. Already met Lucky Me, then signed Lucky Me for a while now.
C'est clair.
But I'm lucky because they let me do my thing for all those years. No, like that's how lucky I am. Like I don't have a schedule.
Est-ce que t'en as déjà eu un dans ta vie, un schedule?
I just make, I show, they go, word? Ouais. We make it, and we release it. You know what I mean?
Ouais.
Because I don't like that. I don't like having a, I'll set up a bunch of different goals again, lists of things.
Ouais.
See a timeline,
mm-hmm.
a realistic timeline,
ouais.
because I'm taking in the technicalities, the logistics of things, and I'm like, okay, this will take amount, that amount of time.
Ouais.
That's how I come up with time, is by calculating the in-betweens and how much it'll take. I don't just come up with a number and be like, oh, probably take me this. And
non, c'est ça.
Most of the time it doesn't. That's sort of, yeah, that's sort of just how I ended up planning it out for myself.
T'as jamais fait comme, oh shit, what's going on? Genre, what? T'as jamais comme eu un moment où t'es perdu, genre, un peu dans comme tes goals?
There was definitely a moment I can remember, like a very small moment, like one summer. But years ago, though, it was still in the beginnings. Yeah, so pretty much after joining the Diplo's management team,
right.
and then doing a bunch of tours and blah, 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 before tonight, though. And then just one summer, I would make music, but I wouldn't feel it like that. And I was like, let me try again. I'll make something. I wouldn't feel it. And I was like, I've heard of people getting in this kind of situation.
Okay, you're not feeling it, Pete.
Yeah, for some odd reason, I just wasn't feeling it. But I feel I got out of it somehow. But I think it was because, obviously, I stopped. I always stop if I don't feel like it's right.
Right.
But I really, like, stop. Not, like, stop music, but, like, just forget. Forget I sort of made music, you know? Like, I'll make a song and I forgot I made it. And then when I came back and I'll open it, I'll be like, whoa. I'll have a whole new perspective because I forgot. And I'll be like, excitement again. And I get excited and I'll start adding ideas. So that's sort of what got me back into the loop of just playfulness and creation, you know? I think that's why I got not bored, but I got uninspired that one summer was because I decided to take out the playfulness out of the practice or the process. Because if it's too serious, like everybody says, it can be too serious.
Moi,
but they don't talk about playfulness enough, I think.
C'est vrai.
That's why, like, when I do shows, I love performing because there's many opportunities for playfulness within that context. I can be moving around. That's why my stage is like multiple props,
ouais.
almost like a playground.
Ouais, ouais. C'est platform. Toi qui as créé ça. C'est
exactly.
Toi. Ouais. Qui designé.
Yeah, exactly. And it all comes from just ideas of old theaters and trying to create a scene, but in the most minimalistic way, but also trying to design it in a way that you could pack it up in a small bag and it worked perfect. It was super, everything was super compact and everything else that we needed to get in terms of lighting, speakers were already part of the venue.
Mm-hmm.
So they were easy to find for every venue we went. So
what?
All those little things, I love working logistics. How simple can I make it? How cost effective can I make it?
Fait que t'aimes ça comme designer des stages.
Yeah, it's very much that. I make the stage and impression first before I make the music for the most part.
Qu'est-ce que tu veux dire, genre, pour ton dernier album, mettons?
Yeah, exactly. The whole album, last album, was pretty much just out of, okay, how do I want the show to feel when I open it? Or, you know, when I'm making the, while I'm making the song, I'm thinking about lighting. Oh, this part will be blue.
Okay.
Oh, this is where it'll stop and the spotlight ends right here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So that's why you hear a lot of, like, drums come in, and da-da-dum, ga-ga, go-gong. Those are the parts I need for the lights. And then I'll tell my lighting director, hey, these ones. It's like figure skating. I used to figure skate when I was a kid.
C'est vrai,
like,
c'est
I knew ça, all,
ouais.
I was well aware of like all these little cues. There's so many cues in figure skating. Holy smokes.
C'est sûr.
It's like choreography, but you can smash your face on ice. You know? That's why I hated it, because I always had the risk of smashing my face on ice.
What?
And everything was always slippery. But I was dope. I was really, really good.
Ah ouais? Yeah. Figure skating.
I was going up the ranks really
nice.
Fast.
Fait que ça a toujours été en toi, la mise en scène.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. There's always something to learn about it. Because it's the realest thing there is. It's, you'll hear the music. It's whatever, it's up to you, what you make of the music.
Mm.
It's to your own reality up until you go see the actual artist. And then you're reminded like, whoa, right. Mm. Right, that's what it's supposed to be. You know, it's not a music video. It's not, you know, it's not a sound clip. It's in your face.
Ouais.
And that person could be looking at you right now and giving you the emotions they're trying to give you through that sound.
C'est vrai.
Oh, and lately I've been also doing a different process too of working, where I force myself to not work on music so much to the point I become almost restless of not working on music. Like, I'll just not work on music, not even think about it, not none.
Okay.
Up to the point of I'll be watching like a fucking, I'll watch like a YouTube video about World War II or something. I'll be like watching. Ouais. And I'll just feel like restless, like stressed almost, you know, like, because I just need to put it out. I have no idea, no ideas, I have nothing to do, nothing, no musical idea. All I feel is this rush of like, and I just open the program, I just start making something without thinking.
No
And then
way.
A whole sound comes.
Oh shit.
And then it's like, wow, does it feel honest? It feels so honest and spontaneous.
T'as pas le choix de le faire.
Unconscious almost. Yeah. It's like some people would work all the time, make a lot of music to the point it exhausts themselves, but it's a loop. It's like a boxer practicing their jab. Now it's muscle memory at that point, but it's a jab, but nothing else but a jab. That's it. Well, it's good for boxing because you need it like that. Right. But when it comes to if it's a jab and nothing but a jab in music, but then that's when things become the same.
Right.
You know, and I don't like that. And I want to figure out how to always come out and feel different every time I work. I don't want to feel like I'm making the same thing, same bar. Let's go. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want it to feel intriguing. Like, whoa, well, how did I even come up with this?
Ouais,
and lately, that kind of way of working has been really doing something. Because it's just, yeah, it just comes out of nowhere. I'm not thinking about a sound, not thinking about anything. All I feel is like, in my chest, like,
urge.
Whoa. It's like I've capped everything else. Now I need to go back to...
Je comprends tellement.
Yeah. So that way, there's no stress. I get to still live my life and continue as it is and still be curious as it is, knowing that I could probably... I'll cap at some point in certain sections.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can just go back to music and it'll just...
Est-ce que des fois, t'as comme la pression de pas performer, mais to have a big hit? T'sais?
That's, in their own respect, that's sort of just the industry in general.
Ouais.
It's the, I guess, if I were to, from my perspective, the way I see it is, it's what the investors want, but it's never what you want. It's what the investors want. Mais... Investor meaning, it could be a manager, it could be the label, it could be whoever invested money in you, they expect that.
Mais toi, comment tu fais pour manager ça avec eux? Parce que c'est...
Now, here's the thing.
Ouais.
The way I managed it for myself is that I came in from a different angle. I came in, I made a song that's popular, but I never made it to be a hit in my from my view.
Okay.
I never came out being like, yeah, I made a hit. Hey, I made a platinum selling record. You know, like technically, yeah. I could put in, I'm a platinum selling producer. I could put that. But it's like, no. I'll mention it at some point if in passing conversation to validate a certain thing for like a job or whatever. But other than that, I just sort of keep it to my own momentum. And whenever I do that, when I create my own momentum, it's the people just end up gravitating towards you for some reason. The people ask me too about tips, right? And they'll ask like, do you just constantly reach out to people, stay in touch with people? It's like, not necessarily. I sort of stay in touch with people in momentum of things. It's not forced, but when we do see each other, it's really heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Like when Diplo came through to Igloo, I went to go see him and I could feel it every time. And I rarely see him. I rarely talk to him. But every time I see him, oh Lunas, heartfelt hug. Yo, come with me. Come with me. We gotta kick it. You legend, man. It's been a long time. You know, and then he's the one going to his photographer. Hey, take a photo of us. I'm not the one asking for. I never asked for a photo. I never asked no one for a photo. You know what I mean?
Only photo
I ever got was me with Jurassic 5. But that's me being a freaking hip hop head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so. Oh my god.
But it wasn't even me to like, hey, let me just get a photo. Somebody took a photo. I'm like, yo, send that to me.
Okay, you know what I mean?
So it's like, because there really isn't a need for that. It just sort of. Changes the impression of things and it places you from in a different angle that how people see you. You're seen as somebody always constantly trying to reach out. And people don't like that. They don't like that kind of vibe. Just in general, it's just very confrontational, you know? Nobody likes to be confronted with anything.
No, sorry.
And I understand that. So I leave everybody to be in their own momentum is what I call it. So when I tell people, like, you don't have to reach people out all the time. You have to create your own momentum. People say a wave, But the problem with a wave is that it pretty much goes and it stops and it's done. But a momentum is pretty much like the solar system, man. You're intergalactic momentum. I don't know. Like, it just never stops.
C'est ça. C'est toujours en train de rouler. Ouais.
Exactly. I love revolving a lot of ideas and concepts around eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Only because that's sort of the world we're floating in. Like, the universe always expands infinitely. So why shouldn't our knowledge of self expand infinitely? Like, there's never going to be a point where we get it. It just, you don't get it. You just always learn new things.
Quand j'étais jeune, j'étais comme, ah, un jour je vais arriver, sûrement à 30 ans, je vais tout savoir, je vais tout comprendre
yeah,
sur moi-même.
Yeah, have a set of things to know and be all good. But it's like, oh damn, you know what? There isn't anything to learn specific. On the fly.
C'est ça.
Yeah.
Ouais, you never stop.
The only thing that's good to remember is to keep a framework while you're out in space.
Ouais. C'est comme ça que toi tu gardes ta balance en fond. C'est
exactly. So when I'm in tour, I always keep 5 things. I even organize my hotel room, my green room.
Mm-hmm.
I fix my green room. I got my incense is huge for me.
Ah, oui.
I always have scent with me, obviously.
Oui.
Not only for the stage, but for the backstage, for the hotel, for where I am, perfume, scent, everything. So all these little things, there's at least five things I try to keep with me at all times that to keep consistent that I do at home that I can do over. While touring. Play games. Fuck. Sometimes I'll bring my work laptop, but it's also a gaming laptop. So, I'll have my controllers and stuff. So, like, on a day off, forget about it. I'll just be there with my weed, and I'll just sit down in the hotel the whole day, and I'll just... And I'll be like, I forget I'm in Sydney. I'll be like, oh, geez, I'm in Australia, man. That's weird. Whatever.
T'as besoin de ça. Tu peux pas juste visiter.
Constantly. Like, I already went. I did my thing when I was younger, for sure.
Ouais.
Now it's time to focus on how can I sustain that and still gain insight. And that's pretty much where I've been at. It's a lot of discussions with people, especially with people who pick me up at the airports, you know. I like to talk with them. A lot of people open up all the time. I had a show in Tijuana, Mexico. The guy who picked me up was an extra in the film Titanic.
Oh my God.
So he told me like crazy stories about the director,
James Cameron.
Cameron. Wild boy.
Pour vrai?
Wild boy. Yeah.
Mais non.
Well, I won't even say that. But, but it's just wild boy. That's all I can say. But it was really fascinating. Just the things you could eventually encounter. Yeah.
C'est fou. Fait que t'es ouvert, parce qu'il était ouvert à ça aussi. Il y a des gens qui sont comme, fuck it, don't want to talk. C'est ça.
No, it's because I'm getting something out of it.
Ouais.
If it's just some bullshit, you're an old guy.
Ouais.
Not old guy. I love listening to old people. They have so much insight. Ouais. Old guy meaning old info, nothing new. Like,
okay.
You're just regurgitating the same stuff, but you think, I don't know. I'll still listen. But...
Ouais.
I have enough patience to sit it through. That's the difference. A lot of people will be like, okay, I'll just... How much more can you push me? That's me.
C'est vraiment cool.
And it's like, wow, you really are pushing me. Huh. Well, I won't break. That's the whole thing.
I'm telling you, I won't break. C'est excellent. Bon, ben merci.
Yeah.
Cool, Luné, c'était parfait.
Definitely.
Thank you. De podcast.